Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love over your children. We give you praise and give you glory. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given unto us to be with us, so that we'll never leave you. Send a comforter to you. We'll be with you. We'll guide you. We'll show you all things. Lead you into all truth. To God be the glory. Today, Lord, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. To God be the glory. So let it be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, all the praise and glory. Amen and amen. So part three of our series on the role of prophecy and discerning the prophetic. If you missed any of the first two parts, you're going to have to get that on replay. Thank God for the replay that's in Clubhouse. You may also check out on our website. They have been loaded as well. Today, I want to get into this part. And there's a lot to cover. So I'm going to dive right in. You know, we've already talked about the, you know, role of prophecy. We've talked about, you know, hearing God's voice, discerning prophecy, I mean, and so forth, you know, what it means, how we may act, how we should, you know, test it, and so on and so forth. Today, we want to make this even more personal. This is more personal now. This is the one-on-one relationship that we must have with God. It's part of walking in the Spirit generally, but this part of it is walking in the prophetic. And we will talk about that in just a bit as I get into it here. Now, remember that the Lord always wanted his people to be close to him, you know, like that. He wanted to be able to communicate. He wanted to be able to relate directly to them and with them. When he called out the children of Israel from Egypt, he began to deal with them as a nation, but also, you know, he wanted them, all of them individually, to also relate to him directly. And let's read some of his, the invitation that the Lord gave to them in the book of Exodus chapter 19. He gave this amazing invitation to them, you know, based on obedience to his voice. Voice was very important. He was always saying that, you know, in the Old Testament, obey my voice, obey my voice, and obey my voice. You know, and he said, now therefore, this is Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel, as God commanded Moses. Praise the Lord. So it is important. It's important for us to go back to this invitation that God put out for the people. And when the Lord asked Moses to say that to the people, and he did, well, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And see, in their hearts, they really wanted to do it, at least at first. They said, well, whatever the Lord said, we will do. But the Lord made these special relationship, being a peculiar people, a treasured people, a kingdom of priests and holy nation and all that. He hinged it on obeying my voice and keeping my covenant. So to obey his voice is to do his will and to do what he says, you know, so he hinged it on that. Well, unfortunately, when they did hear that voice, they thought it was terrible. When they saw the phenomena in the next chapter, the Bible says that, and the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoking, you know, there was just all these things happening when the Lord came down. Verse 18 of Exodus 20. And when they saw it, and they heard the noise, saw the lightning, saw the thunderings, and everything that was happening on that mount, they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but not let not God speak with us, lest we die. You know, they were afraid. You know, they did not want to hear the voice of God. And they pushed it on to someone else, Moses. So you go hear it and come tell it to us. We really can't hear it because it's a terrible voice. We would die if we hear the voice. Of course, Moses was thinking in his mind, God wanted to kill you. You'll be dead already, you know. So, but Moses says to them, you will not die, you know. And but God doesn't want you to be afraid. He just wants to prove you. Let his fear be with you always, so that you sin not. But the people stood afar off. They removed from the presence of the Lord. They didn't want to deal with that voice. Well, as I often say, this was where they lost their right and access to the prophetic. They lost it. With their own mouth, they lost it. And Moses, at this point, became a prophet, more so unto them. He said, you go hear it and come tell it to us. Well, isn't that what, you know, we think of prophets even till this day? When we're looking for somebody to give us a word from the Lord that we cannot hear ourselves. We go to somebody else and say, hey, what is the Lord saying? You have a word of the Lord. And you have a word from the Lord for me. Well, it's almost similar to what these people were saying. You go hear from God and come tell it to us. Because I can't hear, or we can't hear it directly ourselves. And every time I read this passage or think of it, I think that this is the saddest thing that I could read in that Bible. Why would anybody not want to hear the voice of God? Even if he kills you. You know, I mean, that's what they said. They thought it was going to kill them if they heard the voice. I mean, God wanted to kill you. He wouldn't tell you to obey his voice. You know, so, but anyway, they actually, you know, they, by this action that they took, you know, they disqualified themselves from hearing the voice of God. They said, we don't want to hear it. Somebody else go hear it and come tell it to us. Now, let's make sure we don't fall into the same error still this day. There's a lot of people still doing that till this very day. Instead of paying the price to hear the voice of God on our own, we're looking for some prophetic word from somebody else. You know, let somebody else do all the hard work. Let them be the ones that are close to God and let them tell it to us. And, you know, so other people who are in that position of being hearing from God and telling to people, they actually take advantage of it. And sometimes they take advantage of it, kind of like the spirit of the Laodiceans. The spirit of the Nicolaitans. The spirit of Nicolaitan is a divide and conquer. You know, we are, you know, the clergy, you are the lady, we are the ones that can hear from God, we are the prophets. You know, we are the prophets, and you guys are, you know, you are not there, and we have access to God that you don't have. And so you come to us, we'll give you a word, you know, but, you know, it'll cost you something. And you have to pay for it sometimes, you know. And this stuff's been going on for a long time. And this, you know, we need to wake up out of this. Deceiving and being deceived. This deception that people have brought upon themselves to think that somebody else other than you must hear from God for things that pertain to you. And you can't hear it directly from yourself. So today we want to take a look at, you know, this lesson of, you know, let's get away from all of that. Let's hear from God directly. And how do we do it? You know, and so forth. What does it mean? We'll take baby steps in it. Some people are experienced in it already. But, you know, let's assume we're not even experienced. Let's take baby steps together and see what it means, you know, for us to walk in the prophetic. Well, let me say that walking in the prophetic, therefore, is a, you know, it's a life of intimacy with God. You know, not the one that will remove afar off, not the one that will stand afar off and say, we don't want any part of his voice. No. It's a life of intimacy that draws near. I want to check it out. Just like Moses did on, you know, in Exodus chapter 3 on Mount Horeb. He saw something, said, I want to draw near and to check this thing out. Why is this bush burning, but yet it's not consumed? I want to check this thing. I came closer. And it was when he came closer that he began to hear his voice. We gotta come closer to the Lord. We cannot distance ourselves and let somebody else be the one that's going to do it. And that's not gonna work. That's not work. That's not ideal. That's not what God wants. Walking in the prophetic is more than just predicting the future. We've talked about that. You know, when we're talking about prophecy. Prophecy can predict the future, but it can also deal with your situation that you are in right now. And that's even more important. It's not just about future, foretelling the future. You know, as I said multiple times in this series already, what's going to happen 20 years from now, 10 years from now, even 5 years from now, that's not as important to me right now as what I'm going through right now. You know, I'm in this moment. Here's what I'm going through. Prophecy can come to guide me in this moment. We look at the story of Jehoshaphat and the prophet, the young prophet Jehaziel, that gave them the word of the Lord to guide them through the crisis that they were facing with Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and gave them instruction on what to do and how they were going to face that conflict that was present with them at the time. It was, you know, it was a direct word from the Lord. It was prophecy. Yeah, but it wasn't so much about, you know, what they're going to do in the distant future. It was, you know, addressing their current situation. Now, it is more so, working in the prophetic is more so about, you know, learning and hearing God's truth and is what he will reveal to us. And we can use it to encourage ourselves or one another, comfort the church, but at the same time also discern what his plans are for our life. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Yesterday we covered the role of the Holy Spirit when he comes, all the things that Jesus said he would do. Guide you into all truth and all that. Important in the art of walking in the prophetic is the posture of being able to be quiet before God in our heart and attuned to the Holy Spirit in order to hear what he's saying. Keep silence before me, O house, Isaiah 41, verse 1. We got to be able to hear God in the silence of our hearts. You know, that means no matter what else is going on around us. We got to be able to discern what God is saying, discern His voice. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 and verse 10. You know, well, be still. That means you can't really know unless you are still. Be still and keep silent. You know, we got to learn the art of letting our hearts and our ears be still and our eyes be single on Him. You know, despite all the distractions that may be around, both naturally and even spiritually. There's even religious distractions, you know, that can be going on, preventing us from that concentration which is necessary on the Lord. In order for us to be able to walk in the prophetic, we must learn how to hear God clearly. And that's a thing that you know, people need to learn. You can actually be trained, because Eli trained the young man, the young boy, Samuel, you know, how to hear the voice of God. Samuel didn't know it was God calling him. When God called out to him, he ran to Eli. You know, a few times that happened, 3 or 4 times in the night, you know, Eli discerned. See, you got to discern. Eli discerned that that must be the voice of the Lord calling this young man. Say, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. After 3 or 4 times, say, okay, now I know it's God that's calling this young man. So here's what you do when he calls you. Listen carefully to what he says. Tell him that you are listening. Yeah. So there was some training there. You know, so we can be trained to hear the voice of God. God is ready to speak. Sometimes He's speaking, but we are not listening or hearing because of, you know, so many distractions. You know, we must be ready to prioritize God's voice above all the other noise, you know, and so forth. In the midst of all of the noise, we must discern that still small voice. There is an example in 1 Kings chapter 19, the famous story of Elijah and his still small voice, and all the things that happened before the still small voice could have, you know, carried the leading of the Lord, could have been in it. I mean, these were phenomena that were present with the presence of God. They were there. I mean, these things were there, but the Lord was not actually in those things. It was a demonstration to us, a lesson, an important lesson that, you know, sometimes the strong wind, the noise, the breaking, the earthquakes, the breaking of the rocks, and all the wind and the earthquake and the fire and all of that. He said, well, the Lord, you know, passed by. And it was the passing by of the Lord. It was like these things are his part of his entourage. There was a strong wind, part of the Lord's entourage, you know, that accompanied his movement. And that strong wind went and rent all the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Yeah, it's like, you know, just break everything in pieces, you know, clear the way for the Lord, so to speak. But the Lord was actually not in the wind. Well, then after that, he said there was a, you know, after the wind, there was an earthquake. Earthquake shakes and rattles many things. Maybe upsets a lot of things too. Turns things upside down perhaps, you know, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. Many of us are used to, you know, associating the presence of God with fire, you know. The fire that descended on the day of Pentecost in the cloven tongues of fire. John the Baptist saying that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, Jesus himself saying, well, you know, I mean, Jesus himself showing himself to, you know, John on the Isle of Patmos with fire in his eyes and, you know, thunder in his voice and, you know, his feet like burning brass and so forth. Ezekiel, in the first few chapters of Ezekiel, chapters 1 and 2 and chapter 10, saying the glories of God in fire, wheel within a wheel, and all these things. So we're used to these things, and Moses seeing that fire and the voice out of the fire. But in this case, the Lord was not in those things. This was a great lesson. Elijah was a man, you know, that was used to doing a lot of things, you know, and so forth. But God wanted to show him even, you know, a greater and a closer walk with him. So finally, after all of that, there was a small, still voice. Now, the lesson here is you got to really listen closely. You know, after you've seen the wind or, you know, heard the wind, you know, the impact of the wind and the rocks breaking and earthquakes, everything shaking and fire and all these things. How do you hear this small, still voice in the midst of all of that? Well, that's what God was trying to teach. But it was that small, still voice that actually gave Elijah his second mandate. Spoke directly to him. And after that, he's not running from any Jezebel or anybody anymore. You know, told him what he needs to do. You know, and that voice also instructed him out of his own, you know, despair for his life at that time. You know, was actually depressed, you might say. You know, he said, well, I'm not better than anybody, you know, better for me to be dead. I alone, I'm left of all those that love the Lord. The Lord said, no, you're not the only one. And said, even so, the Lord, you know, I mean, these people are seeking my life to take it away, you know, and they've thrown down their altars, they've done all these things. I'm jealous for the Lord God, because they've forsaken their covenant, and, you know, and so on. And the Lord encouraged him and told him what to do. And he also told him, you're not alone. Praise God. But it was, he had to listen for that still small voice. Well, let's talk about what you must do in order for that voice, you know, for you to be able to hear and recognize that voice. Well, first of all, we have to respect, you know, that voice and that anointing. You have to understand it. And you have to know that it is the voice of the Lord. Now, right now, I'm talking about walking in the prophetic, because most people think that, you know, prophecy comes by voice. You know, that's why I'm dealing with the voice part on first, but that's not the only way it comes. But, you know, let's talk about the voice. The voice is important. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, John 10 and 27. You know, a stranger, they will not follow, and even verse 5. They will flee from the stranger, but they will follow my voice. They will discern my voice. You know, they can tell my voice apart from voices of strangers. So that is important. But we must honor that voice and honor the anointing. Now, the anointing, let me just drop this here. The anointing that we honor and respect and adore, you know, not in a man, but in God, the attribute of God that we honor, adore, you know, that's what we can receive, you know. If we see him in his glorious holiness, well, then we can begin to become like him. Be holy as I am holy, you know. And if you see his compassionate heart, and then you can become like that. You know, it's what we see in him is what we can become. You must see his voice as the way that he's communicating with us. You know, if you despise the voice or this way that God communicates, there are many ways that communicates. Right now I'm dealing with the voice. If we despise the voice, you know, then, you know, we really can't benefit out of it. So we must be careful not to despise that voice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, verse 20. Says, well, do not despise prophecies or the voice, or it can come to you from somebody or to you yourself. You know, but you have to test them and test the spirits to see if they are of God. We talked about that the other day, 1 John 4 and verse 1. You know, and but you've got to honor that word and then that word will come even more to you. Remember, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. For he that hears and hath shall be given more. But if you don't hear, then even the one that you thought you knew, you might lose it. You know, so take heed not just to what you hear, but how you hear. And that's very important for us to take heed how you hear. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even what he seemed to have. Now that's a powerful scripture. So take it. How do you hear? I mean, not just what, but how. You know, now there's a difference between, there's a difference between what and how. Okay. What is important, because that's, you know, the substance, but even how is important, because Jesus is saying it here. You know, when we talk about what, well, then we also must talk about how, because that's what this is saying here. How is the manner, the method and condition and so forth. You know, how we focus on the way that something is done, you know, so how is important. You know, how do you listen to God's word? Have you developed the habit of, you know, posturing yourself to hear him no matter what's going on around you? You know, what on the other hand focuses on, you know, the facts or the essence, you know, and so forth. You know, like, you know, what did you do today and so forth? Well, how do you do it is important. How has to also do with obedience. You know, when the Lord is leading us, the Holy Spirit is instructing us, for you to keep that relationship for the Holy Spirit and you going when he's speaking to you, you must be in continuous obedience. Here's what he says, to us in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. It says, the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. You know, so that obedience is part of the how. The what is, what he's saying, but how is, you know, your response to it. If you hear it, you tremble at it, that attracts God's attention. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2. This is the man to whom I will look, when he that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Well, one person may hear it and not tremble. Another person may hear it and tremble. The one that trembles at it and obeys it and prioritizes that word above everything else, well, that's how he's responding to the word. That's the one that gets God's attention. So the how is important, you know. Now, we must also know that it is God's intention. You know, it is the Father's good will, Jesus said, Luke 12:32. Father's good will to give you the kingdom. It is God's intention to tell us these things, to teach us these things, to share his secret with us. And it is intention. Let's read some scriptures that can help us understand that. You know, first of all, Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 15, he said, look, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends, because a servant doesn't know his master's will. But I have revealed unto you all things that I've heard from the Father. So you're no more servants. Now, so it was in God's intention, and Jesus wanted to reveal, you know, to his disciples, you know, in his prayer in John 17, he said, look, you know, I've given them your word. Your word is truth. You know, what you gave me, I've given to them. And so God wants to give us and share these things with us. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. The Lord will do nothing but reveal his secrets to his servant, the prophets. You know, well, you say, well, I'm not a prophet. Maybe not. But Jesus put you in the category of John 15 and 15. Say, well, you know, I want to share things with you. And that qualifies you as a friend rather than a servant. It's his intention to do that. It's his intention to speak to his sheep. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. It is his intention to guide us by the Holy Spirit. All the things that he said, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you, will teach you into all truth. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13. We read all these verses yesterday. Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. God always wants to show and share things with us. Let's read 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 2. This is very powerful. We have to trust God for revelation, and we have to pray for it. And in this room today, we're going to do that before we end the lesson. But I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 2. You know, it says, well, eye has not seen, you know, this is verse 9. Eye has not seen, or ear heard, neither had he entered into the heart of man. So there are three portals here that he's talking about. The eye for seeing, the ear for hearing, and the heart for understanding. You know, just like the scripture says, you know, the rod is for the back of fools, the stomach for belly. But I say, well, eyes are for seeing and ears are for hearing the secret things of the Lord. And the heart is for understanding the will of God and knowing what to do. So the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Well, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, if you stop at verse 9, and, you know, some people read that and stop there and say, well, we don't know what God is doing. Yeah, we're not kind of seen. We haven't heard. We don't understand it. And then they stop there. You know, say, no. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. You know, there's a purpose to the Spirit of God being with us. It'll bring us into that knowledge. And we're going to read one more verse now that must lead us into prayer. You know, the things, we need to know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's words teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. We spoke about that yesterday and the day before. You know, say, well, when the natural man say, well, these things don't resonate with me. Well, yeah, because they can't receive the things of the Spirit. The spiritual man, though, is able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. You know, the natural man cannot receive the things of God because to him they are foolishness. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, that's why we've been talking about discerning the prophetic. You know, that's in the spirit realm. But he that is spiritual, he judge all things, you know, and so forth. Now, who has known the mind of the Lord? Let me instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. So this is very important. Paul talked about and encouraged this kind of prayer in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We see what, you know, Paul is talking about, praying for this kind of revelation. He prayed it over the people in Ephesus. And we should be praying this prayer for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. You know, Paul said, well, you know, after I heard about your faith in the Lord and so forth, you know, I've been praying for you, you know. What has he been praying for them? He said, wherefore, I also, starting from verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was he praying about? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, let's notice what he's praying about here. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and to understand the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and dominion and every name that is named and so forth. Now put all things under his feet, giving him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of all that filleth. Oh, you know, and you can't have all this knowledge, this deep stuff that he's talking about here. You can't have it unless you're praying for it. You know, praying that the Lord will grant us wisdom and revelation. Walking in the prophetic is all about revelation and wisdom on how to apply that revelation. Revelation in the knowledge of the holy and the things of God. That's it. You know, and God wants us to pray this prayer. So we're going to add this prayer to our prayer life, you know, today and going forward. Praying always with all prayer and supplication for ourselves and all the children of God, all saints, that the Lord will grant us. And I started to pray about this. I said, Lord, grant the people that hear us daily as we stand in the message of the Lord, myself first, and then all that hear me daily, and then the spirit of wisdom. Grant us spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Christ and the things of God, the deep things of God, you know, how we can understand the hope of his calling, our eyes being enlightened, you know. So when you hear with your ears, when you see with your eyes the things we God wants you to hear and the things we God wants you to see, then your heart will understand knowledge. It's so important. That's walking in the prophetic. So God can tell you things, share secrets with you. The prophetic is actually the realm of friendship. That's all it is. You know, because Jesus said, I don't tell servants my secrets. I only tell them to my friends. So the sharing of secrets, according to Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord revealed his secrets to his friends. Well, in those, that place, he called them prophets. Well, so you can be in the prophetic when you are hearing and knowing God's secrets. And why is this secret? Well, it's not really secret. It's just because we're not in that realm. You know, but when you discover it, like Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2 says, say, it is the glory of God to conceal the thing, but the honor of you kings to search out the matter. For God has made us priests and kings. So you must search it out. And then when God reveals it to you, it's like a secret that you now know, which others didn't know. But now he reveals it to you. So in the prophetic realm, we are also in the friendship realm. It's not necessarily the highest realm, but it's the friendship realm. You know, the highest realm is in the union with God one-on-one, the sonship realm. But friendship is good. I mean, there were friends called friends in the Old Testament. That's as far as they got. You know, Moses was a friend. Abraham was a friend. I mean, that's it. And this Moses, who was in the friend zone, I call it that, he had tremendous revelation. We are told in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, the kind of relationship that Moses had, even in that friend zone. But that friend zone, as great as it was still, you know, limited. He said, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. So in the frenzy zone, God will tell you things face to face, but he's still face to face. I mean, there's still a little bit of distance. It could be 1 foot between, you know, your friend. If your friend is in front of you and you are talking to them, he's still there and you are still here. He's talking, but he's in front of you, maybe 1 foot or 2 foot away or 2 feet away, but it's still face to face. And that's the highest of the friendship zone. There's a higher zone we've been talking about in this room. Those of you who have been here for any length of time know that. It is the sonship zone where he's in you and you are in him. He's dwelling in you, you are dwelling in him. I and my Father are one. It's that zone. It's not face to face anymore. You know, it's not over there and you are here and there's there. No. Where he is where you are. Where you are is where he is. You know, I will make my abode with him, you know, and so forth. You know, but it starts by you obeying his voice. John 14:21. I've quoted this verse dozens of times in this room. 21-23. If you obey my voice, keep my commandments, well, and that shows you love me. And then I'll come to you, he said. I'll make my abode with you. It's no longer I'm there, you are here, you are there, I'm here. No. Where you are, I'll be. Where I am, you'll be even more, you know, in tune with him. The more you obey him, the more you are in tune with him, the more you get of him. He that hath shall be given more. Take heed how you hear. Because, you know, if you are hearing and responding, that's the how, then you'll be getting more. You know, God tells you one thing, you do it correctly. Well, then he'll tell you the next. He tells you one thing and you don't do it correctly, or you do it halfway or 95%, then it's over. Yeah, he can't tell you anymore because he can't trust you, you know, to do it like he said. So can he trust you to do it like he said? Actually, he trusts us more than we know at times, but we let him down. There was a story, a popular story, which I've also told many times on this platform, where Jesus trusted the disciples more than they trusted him. He said, let us go to the other side. And he trusted the disciples to handle the business of getting, you know, the ship across. I mean, they were, you know, skilled fishermen after all. So Jesus said, well, let's go to the other side. And he just went to sleep. More importantly, he trusted the disciples with the ability, entrusted them with the ability for them to trust his word too. Because he said, let us cross over to the other side. But they didn't have the faith. He trusted them more. That's why I was disappointed when they woke him up. Why are you fearful? I mean, he could have handled the storm. The storm is nothing. Jesus said, storm is nothing. You know, I told you we're going to the other side. You should have put the storm in its place. Or even ignored it and just rode through the storm. That's what Jesus was doing. Just slip through the storm. It wasn't his intention to rebuke anything. He's just going to sleep. Praise God. You know, so they didn't understand that. And Jesus was teaching that to them. When you are in that relationship, hear his voice carefully. Listen to what he said. Let us go over to the other side. Take it how you hear. You know, and he said the same thing anyway in that chapter. Well, in that place, Mark reported it as, take heed what you hear. But, you know, the same thing. You should have heard that he said, let us cross over to the other side. If you were listening and walking in the prophetic, you know, requires discipline to listen to what he said. Not what you think he said, but what he said. You got to listen to what he said. Going to the other side, we're going to the other side. That's it. You know, you just latch onto that word. That word will carry you to the other side, over and above the storm. Doesn't matter. Storm or not. The word said you're going to the other side. You know, as you listen. The Holy Spirit give you guidance when you listen. So, you know, I'm sharing tools with us on, you know, walking in the prophetic. Now, the purpose of this type of communication from the Lord is, you know, at least one set of purposes are given to us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. You know, threefold that he gives there, you know, edification, exhortation, and comfort. But as we already said in this series, that's not, I mean, those are not the only things for which prophecy can be. It can be for many things. You know, God can bring the prophetic to warn people and to even judge and so forth. But most of the time, you know, God is speaking encouragement into your life and the life of others. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 and 31 also talks about that. You know, we're encouraging others. If you want to prophesy, you want to walk in the prophetic, you want to know these things, well, then know that, you know, yours must be a life of, encouragement. We all can prophesy so all may learn and all may be comforted. That means, you know, these things, even in the, you know, when it's in the congregation and even when you are hearing from God for yourself and for others, train your ears to hear goodness. You know, one man said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Well, I also said, I will hear no evil thing. I will hear no evil, see no evil, neither speak evil or think evil in my heart towards any of my brethren. My words will be words of encouragement. You know, this man said, the Lord, Isaiah, he said he has learned it. You know, let me read it to you how he said it in Isaiah chapter 50. You know, he had learned this thing that I am talking about here. And he said, the Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned. That's Isaiah 50 verse 4. But let's read the rest of these verses to see where it came from. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Okay, that's good. But how did he come about that? Well, he wakened my, you know, morning by morning, he wakened my ear to hear, you know, as the learned. You know, the Lord had opened my ear and I was not rebellious. That's taking it how you hear. When the Lord begins to speak, well, you better not be rebellious. But I don't say, well, we can't hear that voice. Let somebody else hear it. No. That's what they said. And they turned away back. Isaiah said, well, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to turn away, you know, and so forth. So, morning by morning, he's listening. What he's hearing is instructing his heart. And he's culturing his heart to speak, you know, from his ears to his heart and then his tongue. He's hearing good things. My heart is indicting a good matter. He's hearing good things. And, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Well, first he heard it. He heard the Lord say good things. Say, now I will hear, I will stand upon my watch. I will hear what the Lord God is saying. Wow. These people, they learned how to hear what God is saying. You know, Habakkuk 2 and 4, he learned what the Lord is saying. The psalmist even said, I myself will hear what God is saying to his people in times of distress. You know, but he warned us, you know, here in Psalm 85, he said, look, will thou not revive us again, Lord? Turn us, you know, and so forth. I mean, cause thy anger to cease, do all of these things. Bring us revival that God, that we may rejoice in you. Psalm 85, he said, show us thy mercy and grant us thy salvation, Lord. Then in verse 8, he says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. So this hearing business is so important. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Only let them not return again to folly. So God will bring correction as part of even speaking that peace. The correction is don't go back to folly. It's like you know, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Yeah, that's it. You know, with the comfort of, hey, you are not condemned, you know, and so forth. But with that comfort also comes correction. You know, mercy and truth have kissed each other. Mercy says, you are forgiven. Truth says, well, stay in the light and don't go and do it anymore. They go together. Right here, peace unto his people, but also caution. Don't go back into whatever it was that the Lord gave you victory over. Don't go back to it. And so, but he was training his ears. Say, I will hear. You got to listen. When God is speaking and we are not listening, well, how are we going to know what he's saying? My sheep listen. They hear my voice. They follow me. I lead them out and give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know, so that's critical part of walking in the prophetic. Now, prophetic goes beyond just voice, though. But I wanted to focus on voice because that's what most of us recognize. You know, prophetic can be in many things. You know, I mean, the Lord said, look, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will reveal myself to him in dreams and visions and even symbolism. You know, the Lord, you know, we covered that when we were, you know, covering prophecy and so forth. You know, the Lord will speak, you know, to us. And in the prophetic, you know, he spoke to prophets with symbols, we're told. You know, that those symbols and different things, you know, he can use symbols. Not necessarily voice, can also use symbols, can show you things. You know, he said the Holy Spirit will show you, John 16 and 13, what to come. Not just speak to you, but he will do both. He said he will bring to your remembrance. He will tell you, but he will also show you. He can also reveal things. He can show it to you by telling you or even opening your eyes to see something that you didn't see before. You know, God can do all this. And there's so many methods and ways, you know, by which God can speak to us. We have to discern the method, the way in which God is speaking to us. Practice knowing his presence. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 10, he said, I have spoken by the prophets and multiplied visions. So he can use visions to speak. And I've used similitudes. He can use symbolisms and imagery and different things to speak to us. One time, Lord wanted to speak to Jeremiah about a makeover for the people of God. And he sent him down to the potter's house. Jeremiah chapter 18, he said, you know, go down to the potter's house and there you will hear my words. But when he went down to the potter's house, God showed him something first before he actually spoke to him. So God can use imagery to speak to us and then also back it up with the word to explain it. So he went to the potter's house in Jeremiah 18 verses 1 through about 4, and he saw the potter making pottery, which is what he does. But the thing that he was making was messed up in his hands. He said it was marred. You know, got all bent out of shape. That's where bent out of shape came from. And it didn't quite turn out the way the man wanted it. And as he was looking, Jeremiah saw the man. He didn't throw it away, the same lump. He actually didn't throw it away. He made it again. You know, he remodeled the thing. He started molding it again, the same lump. He didn't throw it away and start with another lump. He took that same lump, refashioned it, molded it again, as it seemed good to the potter to do it. And then the word of the Lord said to Jeremiah, can I not do to you, O house of Israel, as this potter has done to the clay? Huh? As Holy Ghost makeover, he can do that too. But first, he showed him something, you know, and he told him, he will hear my words. But first, he showed him something. So the eyes and the ears, they work together to bring understanding. It's what I'm trying to say when we are saying we're walking in the prophetic. Prophetic to be, God, open your eyes. Open my eyes, Lord, and we see wondrous things out of your law. Well, you know, God might instruct your heart. He might speak to your ears. Isaiah 30 verse 21 say, you will hear a voice behind your ear that give you instruction. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you in the way that you go. How? How is that instruction? Is he going to tell it to you by voice? Well, voice is a very critical part of it, but Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, and then the logos, the written word of God. We cannot overemphasize it because that's the, you know, final arbiter, if you want to say it that way, or the litmus test, or whatever you want to call it, Isaiah 8 and 20. Always go back to the word to check it out. And when you see or experience any phenomena, and check it out by the word of the Lord. See whether it is according to God's word. Don't be carried away. Now, here's the lesson. Let's not be quick to dismiss prophesying, but at the same time, let's not rush to do whatever it is saying. So you have to balance it. Don't despise it, but don't rush to anything. Check it out. So you must have an open heart. You know, like the Bereans were told, when they heard the word of God, they received it gladly. The Thessalonians also eventually, at first they didn't do it like that, but eventually they received it as the word of God. And then they went, the Bereans especially, to search out those things daily to see whether they were so. So just hearing it alone, you know, you can't just say, oh, I heard it and that's it. That's it. No. Acts chapter 17 verse 11 says, for the people in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because what they did was they were used to, hearing the word of God. He said, well, they heard the word of God. They received it with readiness of mind. And then they went and searched those things daily to see whether they were so. So that's what you must do. Let's never get into the error of, you know, I heard this in the 70s, you know, way back then. I was a young man, a group of some people that said they were believing the end time message. And people would say things like, oh, I know the realm in which I receive. What realm? When you are in the realm of the prophetic, there are many things in that realm, good and evil. They are there. That's where the Bible says, you know, you must discern. Prove all things. Don't despise it, but prove it. You can't just say, well, I know the realm in which I receive. You know, once I hear, I know it. I'm sure. No. You may know it, but check it out. Because even Satan has disguised himself as an angel of light. So you got to check it out. You know, so you can't say, well, no, I know absolutely. Well, that could be pride. Check it out. You should know, but also check it out with the word of God. Those are the instructions. Is this thing that I'm hearing, is it according to the will of God? Does it glorify Christ? Revelation 19 and 10. You know, that's why he said the ultimate, motive behind prophecy is to bring glory to Christ. You know, say the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Christ. Does it glorify Christ? This thing. You know, is it in alignment with other scriptures? You know, because, you know, say comparing spiritual with spiritual. When you see something which appears to be some spiritual word of the Lord to you, well, compare it with other spiritual words that are in the Bible. That's what the spiritual man does. He compares spiritual things with spiritual things. And then, you know, you will be justified before the Lord that you've done the right thing. If you jump at everything you hear, the devil is going to take advantage of that. One day he will disguise himself as an angel of light. And he will tell you something that appears to be factual. But because it's coming from the spirit of error and he's a liar from the beginning, it will still contain some kind of lie. But if you let your guard down thinking, well, whatever this person says is from the Lord. Yeah, like the naive young prophet in 1 Kings 13, that was his downfall. You know, he let his guard down because he said, I know this is a man of God. I've heard about him. And the man even introduced himself like that. So some people say, well, you know, whatever he says goes because he's a man of God. Well, one day, whatever he said was a lie. You know, and he lied unto the man. Yeah. He said, well, the Lord told me, but the Lord didn't tell him. But he said, the Lord told me to bring you back to my house. Well, the young prophet should have stayed with the word of the Lord, but he let his guard down. So what I'm saying to you is this. I don't care how many times this person has been proven right before when they spoke in the name of the Lord and always came to pass. Every other time, check it out still. Otherwise, one day you fall into error. You got to check it out. Isaiah 8:20 says that. Check it out. Don't rush to do it and don't dismiss it. You must receive it and then check it out. And if it turns out to be, according to the light and according to the law and testimony, then hold on to it. If it turns out to not be so, then get rid of it. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us. Prove all things. You hold on to that which is, in alignment with the word of God. And throw the other stuff away. Praise the Lord. So, these things are important in the art of, walking in the prophetic. Now, walking in the prophetic, when it comes to, our ministry to others, I'm talking mostly for ourselves now. But when it comes to ministry with others also, it must be rooted and grounded in love. Anybody that's, wants to be a channel to speak the word of the Lord to others, if they don't have love and compassion, they have no business doing it. They should just pack it up, go stay somewhere. Because these things must be driven by the love of the brethren. That's it. You've got to be driven like that. You must want to know what good thing the Lord is saying concerning your brethren. Even if there was a harsh thing that came from the Lord, well, you will stand in the gap and you will say, Lord, be it far from the Lord that the Lord should do this thing and deal harshly with his children. I beseech you, O God, have mercy upon it. Remember, they are your children. And you will speak with the Lord. Even when the Lord shows you something, harsh like that. When the Lord showed it to Moses, something harsh that he was going to do. Moses, stood his ground with the Lord and said, Lord, I beseech you. Remember, these are your children. And, remember, all the people around, they have heard how with a mighty hand you brought them out. If now you destroy them, well, what are the people going to say? They will say that the Lord couldn't keep them, that's why he destroyed them. And the renown that you have gained, across the land will weaken. And so he stood there. And, in the ministry of intercession, when he heard from the Lord something not so savory for God's people, that's it. Some people say, if you see anything negative, that's what you must do. If you hear anything negative, that's what you must do. You can't go pronouncing negative stuff on God's children, because God said, my thoughts are good and evil. And God may pronounce evil because of disobedience. But what is your role if you hear it? Well, your role is to stand in the gap. Make up the hedge and say, Lord, be far from me. remember your mercy. Your wrath. Remember mercy. Remember that these people are flesh. This and this and this. You stand. Moses, even to the point, offered himself as a sacrificial lamb. It was a mighty move from him. He said, Lord, if that's what you want to do, then blot me out. Blot me out, but save these your people because they are your covenant people. Let not your covenant fall to the ground. My goodness. And God said, well, that's a great thing that you did to offer yourself like that. But the person I'm going to blot is the person that I've not kept my ways, not the one that's keeping my ways, But he stood and prayed and interceded for God's people. And then God said, okay, I will do this thing that you have asked. Praise the Lord. If we're in the prophetic, some people enjoy this, and it's a great thing. I enjoy the prophetic myself. I love to hear it. I love to walk in it. I love to, but I love to hear good for God's people. I'm not going to open my mouth and go say anything evil. No, even if evil was pronounced, I'm going to stand in the gap and pray that thing through until it's shown that it's good. It's all good. We're all good. And I speak peace. Speak peace to God's children. Because that's what the Bible says in the book of, you know, 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 14 and verse 12. You know, we're told, you know, that, look, if you want to be, you know, want to have spiritual gifts, because the Bible says, you know, be desirous of spiritual gifts. Well, in as much as you are zealous to have spiritual gifts, walk in the prophetic, to be able to say a word from the Lord and so forth. Well, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. If this stuff doesn't edify, then check it out. It may still be from God, but you know, check it out. And if it's not going to build up the church, then maybe you ought to pray some more until God changes his mind. You know, because that's the spirit of intercession. It goes with the prophetic, you know, because sometimes God will show you things about others. And if you don't learn this simple concept, well, it's simple, but it's deep. If you don't learn this concept of, look, you know, it's God to edify that body. If you don't learn it, then what good is it? I was in a fellowship some years ago. Somebody stood up in the fellowship as a young man there many, many years ago. Maybe I was 20 or so. I don't know. Because I knew where I was then. I went to this fellowship. And then he stood up. He said the Lord showed him a cloud, a darkness, a spirit of death upon some people. And he called them out. And he called them out, you know, and he told them to stand up. And he saw a spirit of, you know, dark cloud and death over them and so some other things. Okay. He did. And I was looking, watching to see what they would do. I was not one of the ministers. I was just in the crowd. I was a young man. I was at, some of you who knew Nigeria in those days, I was in a place called Ferrer School of Science. I went to this fellowship in a place called University of Ibadan. And it was one of their ministers. I was doing this thing. And I was looking, waiting for them to do the prayer, to dismiss the... He should never have said that in the assembly, number one. But he was a man that carried, you know, great respect. And it's, you know, but he didn't pray. He didn't pray at all. And he just said the thing for people to stand up, embarrass the people, put fear upon them. But no prayer was made, you know, for that thing, which should not have been said at all. As I was a young man, I didn't even know the things that I knew today. But even then, I was able to discern that this is not right. You know, you should pray for these people if you see something like this. Well, thank God, before the end of the day, another co-minister of his, not, I was not one of the ministers, you know, when he himself saw that there was no prayer made for those people, he came out and then prayed over those people. And I guarantee you, well, his beloved, you know, sister that he was going with, they weren't married then, but you know how brother and sister used to go together in those days, you know, was one of those people that was called out. And I was thinking, if she had not been one of those people, would he have done that? I don't know. I don't know the answer till this day. But the point remains that why would you do such a thing? Then in recent years, more recent years, yeah, some years ago, I was in a house fellowship and somebody stood up to be saying what he saw. You know, he saw spirit of death on somebody. But he himself didn't pray either. Well, this time around, I was one of the ministers. And I wouldn't put up with it at all. You know? And I just stood up and I put that spirit down. And say, you can't talk to people like that. You know, you're not talking to captors in the wilderness or in the desert. These are people who have emotions. You can't come here and tell them you saw the spirit of death. What good is that going to do other than cast a spell of fear over that person? We don't do that. You know, well, that can cause a serious problem between that person and me till this day. But, you know, Bible says I'm in defense of the gospel. Well, so we have to be in defense of the truth, you know, and, you know, that stuff, you know, doesn't work in the body of Christ. And if I'm in an assembly to this day, And more recently, I cautioned somebody. A person stood up in our church one day and we started talking about the spirit of death. You know, well, I didn't get up on stage that day and say anything, but I called him after the service and I said, no, I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to hear it. If you see coughing or you see death or you see this, you pray and get rid of it. Or you call me or call some other leaders and we pray and deal with that thing. I don't want to hear. Don't come to the stage and say that stuff. You know, because what good is that? Does that go to the edifying of the body of Christ? Absolutely not. All it's going to do is create fear, and the devil, fear is a number one tool that the devil will use. You know, once you create that fear, you know, and, you know, people in the world and in the dark world actually use that fear, you know, to gain advantage over people. And that's witchcraft. And people don't know that they are playing into that when they are doing that. They don't mean it like that, but they need to be taught. You know, so for you, if you want to walk in the prophetic for beyond yourself, you should receive from God for yourself, for your own personal guidance. And that's a good thing. But if you are going to have a word for somebody else, let your heart, your mind, and everything be aligned to compassion and to love of the brethren and or the edifying of the church. That's it. And if that thing is not edifying, just dump it. You know, because we don't want that in the church, because all that creates is fear and all this stuff, you know, and then people will be afraid. I mean, guess what? If you come out and say to somebody, which God might have revealed it. I'm not saying God doesn't reveal these things. I'm saying God reveals about how people handle it is the problem. God might reveal that somebody is going to be in an accident. If you come and tell them they're going to be in an accident, is that what you should do? No, that's not going to help them. What you need to do is you need to pray, you know. And there's a few times that, you know, God showed me things like that. I mean, I don't deal with those things. But if he shows me, I pray it until it's over. You know, I prayed it until it was over. You know, and then one time somebody told me that they saw something with a brother and so forth. And I say, yeah, it's good that you're telling me and not them. Well, let's pray. We took time apart for prayer, even took some fasting. And we prayed, you know. And it was a difficult situation, but we prayed, you know. But we didn't go and tell him. Because, you know, when you go and tell him, well, they're going to play right into the hands of the devil. You know, what we want to tell people is peace. I will hear what the Lord God will speak to his children. He will speak peace unto his children. That's what we want to tell him. You know, so, but if it is not peace, then you deal with it in prayer until it is peace. It's that simple. Because anything that the Lord shows that is not peace is conditional. It can be removed. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He might show you that there's danger ahead. He does that. You know, but it's not for us to just stay there and accept it and then pronounce it. Don't do it. Praise the Lord. I have chosen that I will pronounce no evil with my mouth over any brother or sister. Even if the Lord showed something, we deal with it in private until it is removed. Then we pronounce peace upon the Israel of God. Hallelujah. That's it. So walking in the prophetic must also be driven by our love of the brethren. Compassion, you know, and so forth. The only people that Jesus spoke evil against were people who were evil in their hearts. The Pharisees and the scribes. But for the other people, he had compassion over them as sheep without a shepherd. And he would just go out and heal them. Even when the Pharisees, same Pharisee, tried to condemn them, he said, no, I don't condemn you. You know, but he would give them a word. After first he freed them from sin, he would tell them, stay free. Don't go back. You know, but he wouldn't condemn anybody, even the thief on the cross. You know, I mean, this was the life of Jesus. You know, so what kind of thing do we want? What posture and what way do we want to, you know, carry ourselves when we say we want to walk in the prophetic? You know, I've seen where people have used that, like I said, to cast fear upon people. And they use that to merchandise people. You know, once they use that to get a hold of them, then you are in their pocket now. You know. So no. And ladies and gentlemen, all this nonsense, God must root it out. Jesus said, my fan is in my hand and I will thoroughly purge my floor, saith the Lord. That's right. You know, those are trifling with the souls of men, for whom Christ died. The eye of fire is going to deal with them, except they repent. That's what Jesus used to say. Look, I'm coming after you. I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth, except you repent. There's always the clause for repentance. You know, even when people are doing the wrong thing, people who are walking the prophetic when they are doing wrong, there's always the clause from the Lord that they can repent. And I pray for those people too, that they repent. But if they choose not to repent and continue to try to lead the people of God down the wrong path, well, the Lord said, I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You know, so everybody ought to be careful. You know, but our primary goal in wanting to walk in the prophetic should not be, you know, wanting to speak to others. It should be wanting God to speak to us. That's the number one thing, you know. Take care of yourself. You know, Jesus said, well, take care of the beam that is in your eye first, and then you will be able to see clearly the mote that is in your brother's eye. You know, so walking in the prophetic is us developing a life of intimacy with the Lord. You know, it requires, here's what it requires in addition to what I've said before. It requires that the vessels be broken and pure, that God will use like that. The heart of purity, Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, the book of Psalms 15, 19 and other places say the same thing. Well, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Almighty? Well, he that has a pure heart and clean hands. You know, so, you know, walking in the prophetic is like ascending to the hill, you know, where you can hear secrets of the Lord, you know, but you got to have a pure heart, a heart sprinkled with water, bodies washed with water, pure conscience. You know, Paul said, look, I strive to maintain a pure conscience before everybody. You know, have a conscience void of offense. You're not thinking evil of anybody, you know. When your heart is pure like that, well, your mind, your heart, and everything, when it's pure before the Lord, God is able to use you. You can be a channel of blessing. Praise the Lord. You guard your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 23, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, this thing, you got to guard your heart. Don't let the devil sow seeds of discord, seeds of envy, seeds of hatred, seeds of unforgiveness. People who have unforgiveness in their heart, they will see evil to that brother that they don't forgive. You know, they may say they see a prophet, but all they see will be evil because their heart is tainted with evil. That's right. You know, so, you know, that's why I dismiss those things when people say those things. You know, I say, look, if your heart is pure, what comes out of your mouth will be pure, because the Bible says out of the heart proceeded the things that come out of the mouth. So if all you are saying is always evil to somebody or a particular person, then that's what's in your heart. I don't care whether you say you saw it from the Lord or not. But if your heart was good, you will see good toward them. Praise God, you know. And even if, like I said, if you saw evil, you would pray until it was turned to good, because your heart is good toward them. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 6, we're told that, look, even though it's talking about prophesying according to proportion of faith, it's also walking in the prophetic according to the proportion of faith. You know, it starts with a little thing. You know, Jesus said the seed of mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed, it's a little thing, very tiny, but it can grow. We can grow our experience with God. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that those that have by experience, you know, they develop even the ability for discerning. They have their senses exercised to discern good and evil over time. You know, so, you know, strong meat, he said in Hebrews 5 and 14, belong to those, you know, who are of age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. So by, you know, we can exercise the things of the Spirit, you know, practicing the presence of the Lord, practicing hearing the voice of the Lord, practicing how you react, you know, you are trained, you know. Samuel was trained. He said, look, this is how you will react next time he calls you. Say, look, here I am, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. You know, Isaiah said the same thing. In Isaiah chapter 6, you see, Lord said, who will go for us? Say, well, here I am, send me. You know, you got to practice how you're going to respond. God would try you out in little things, you know. Maybe he'll tell you something which you think is insignificant. You know, when you are trying to walk in the prophetic, you're standing in your closet one day, and you're trying to put on the blue shirt, and God said, no, don't wear that one, wear the white. That's insignificant, you might think. But the person that wants to walk in the prophetic, that's not insignificant. When he tells you, you do. Once you have discovered the voice of the Lord, you say, well, what does it matter if I wear white or blue? Really, it doesn't matter. Whether you wear white or blue is not going to save your life. You are saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess his lordship and his resurrection. That's how you are saved. However, it may be significant because God, you know, already showed that brother or sister you're going to see today that you're coming in a white shirt. It has a bearing. So every little thing that we think is insignificant, if you want to walk in the prophetic, you got to obey. You know, obey my voice. That's where it starts. And we got to be guardians of that voice, whatever that voice is. That's why Jesus said, keep my command. You're like a guardian. Whatever he says, you keep it close. You know, don't let it slip through your hands. You know, Hebrews say, you know, chapter 2 says, oh, look, we ought to take the more honest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. This is the same thing with somebody who wants to walk in the prophetic. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Take heed to what he says. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Praise the Lord. So all of these are part of walking in the prophetic. And, you know, also for those who are in the teaching ministry, I can say it from experience. You got to walk in the prophetic sometimes for the things that God wants you to say to the people of God. You know, otherwise, you would just be, you know, I mean, you won't have a voice. Let's just put it that way. You know, God will be speaking to you. I will stand upon my watch. And if I have a teaching ministry, or you're a leader, you know, a fellowship leader, or you have a Bible study group, or you are teaching on a platform such as this and so forth, you must be walking in the prophetic. And, you know, that's how God will take you into dimensions of what he wants to show you. And let me end here by saying, you know, when you practice and know how to get into the prophetic zone, well, it can be past, present, or future, because that's God of praise in all those zones. I mean, how do you think was Moses there when God created the world? How did he know those things? How did he write all those things? Now, those are deep. Those are prophets. You know, that's not just prophetic. But it starts by something little. You know, it started by Moses saying, look, let me check out this phenomena. Let me see what is this thing here? He didn't even know God like that, you know, but, you know, it started like that. And, you know, when God begins to draw you in, you know, one thing leads to another. And the people that want to walk in the prophetic must pray a lot. Prayer and the studying of the word, those two things, you got to do it. You got to pray a lot. It's not that you're attending prayer meetings. That's good. But whether you're attending prayer meeting or not, you are praying. Pray always. You're praying in your heart. You're meditating on the word of God all the time. You know, you may not be sitting down at your desk with the Bible in front of you, but it's in your heart. You're thinking about it, you know, even while you're at work, you know, you're thinking about that word. You're thinking about it. You're meditating on it. You are in prayer, even when you are doing something else. You're still in prayer. Now, the prayer where you enter into your closet and shut out all the world, that's the highest grade of that kind of prayer. But that's not always possible. Yeah, because you got to go to work, you got to go to school, you got to do this, you got to deal with your children, your husband, your this and that, your wife, you know. But you can be in that closet in your heart, in your mind. You can shut things out. That's what closet means. Shut things out. Shut everything out. In your mind, you're connected. And you will be like a tree that's planted by the river of living water because you stay connected. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap it up there. That's it for today on walking in the prophetic. Now, this is a subject that we cannot exhaust, you know, but you know, I've given enough, a little here and a little there. It's enough for us to, you know, be inspired. One thing we're going to do now, after I close the lesson, we're going to pray. To enter into a life of the prophetic, well, we got to cleanse our hearts from all filthiness of the spirit and of the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2. Cleanse all that stuff out of there. And then have a clean heart. I mean, pure heart, clean hands. You know, those are the people that will see God, you know, and all that. And then ask him in prayer constantly what Paul prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:17, that the Lord will grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, like 1 Corinthians 2:9, the things that God has hidden but is revealing by his spirit, I want to know. You know, we got to pray. Prayer, staying in prayer and having the mantle of prayer, and being always connected with a heart of gratitude and a heart of love towards the brethren. All these are ingredients to walking in the prophetic. And a life of holiness. We cannot leave that out. You know, your heart must be pure. That's a life of holiness. We can't be a conduit for the things of God, you know, when there are kinks in our life. We talked about that yesterday. So I'm going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today's lesson in walking in the prophetic. Many aspects that we have covered, and yet we need your grace. We want to receive grace for wisdom, grace for revelation, grace to receive knowledge, grace to hear and hear rightly. And grace, Lord, to see and see rightly. And grace for our heart to understand and perceive what the Spirit is saying to us. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. And we block, O Lord, out all the blockers, that will try, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Unforgiveness, bitterness, the root of bitterness, anger, backbiting, and malice, and all these things, you know, that can diminish the anointing of God from our lives. And Father, we pray, Lord, help us to purge out the old leaven and all these things from our hearts, that we may be a pure and new lump. And to God be the glory. Help me, Lord, to be a channel of blessing. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. A channel of blessing today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.